Merry Christmas. We've enjoyed a wonderful presentation from the worship team, the children, and the choir. It's another beautiful Christmas Sunday morning. In this season, we often take time to reflect upon the miracle of Jesus' birth and the mysteries revealed in the Christmas story. Yeah, the virgin birth, the dual nature of Jesus Christ, both God and man. The Trinity is very present in the story because God the Father sends His Son, God the Son, into the world through the Holy Spirit's work. These are mysteries that although we contemplate them and we learn about them from the Scriptures, only God can fully understand how these things are possible. Because with God, all things are possible. Yet it's good for us, even if we can't completely understand, to ponder, to contemplate, to think about these things, because they help us to draw near to our Lord and Savior in worship. Now, there are some Christians who devote their entire lives to reflection, writing, and teaching about these things and about other mysteries of theology. And Karl Barth here is one of those. He devoted his life to contemplating the deep things of theology and sharing about them. And he's shown here on the cover of Time magazine, April 20th, 1962. Now, I don't know how many of you here know about Time magazine, but it's one of the largest magazines in the United States. And usually you only find like presidents and very famous people on the cover. And then they have a theologian on the cover of Time magazine. As many people felt that he's one of the greatest theologians, certainly of the 20th century, studying the deep things of God and pondering the mysteries of Scripture. And his books, Karl Barth's books, books and writings, are required reading in almost every seminary around the world. Wherever you go, people read his work of theology in the schools of theology. There's a story, though, about a time when he was giving a presentation at the University of Chicago in the United States. He had a long and very deep lecture about the things of God. And he had a big hall full of seminary students and professors from the university and other places. And at the end of his lecture, he was asked by the host of the lecture series, Karl Barth was asked, "Of all the theological insights that you have ever had, what do you consider to be the greatest of them all?" And Professor Karl Barth thought quietly for a moment and he answered, "The greatest theological insight I have ever had is this: Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." The words of a children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, the Word of God, tells me so. Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves you. Each and every one of you, and all of us together, Jesus loves us. And this is the deepest theology, even though it's such a simple thing. And it's the greatest insight and the greatest Christmas gift that we have, is to know the love of Jesus, the love of God for each and every person He has created. And because of His great love for us, because of His great love, God came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, born as a baby, laid in a manger, so that He could be with us and save us from our sins. Now, One of the names of Jesus is Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. And it speaks of God's presence with us through His Spirit and His presence with mankind on that first Sunday morning 2,000 years ago. But I think that Emmanuel, or God with us, also speaks of something much more than God simply being with us in the person of Jesus Christ or through the Spirit of Christ. I think it also speaks of what God did in coming into this world as a child born in a manger. Jesus was born. He grew up. He played games with the other children. He ate. He drank. He learned to work. No doubt, sang in the synagogue and read the scriptures. Studied. He wept. He cried. He laughed. He felt pain and experienced joy. And in all of this, He is God with us, not just in presence, but in the experience that we have as human beings. Come to share the human experience. God, who created men and women, came to be with us in the person of Christ. Now, some people think, oh, God is far away and up there someplace, and in a sense that's true. But God is also near. He came near to us so that He could know us and have fellowship with us in the flesh. This is such an extraordinary thing that it's hard to even contemplate the idea that the Creator of the universe came to be Emmanuel, God with us. And then to even die on the cross for our sins, to give His life as a ransom for ours, so that we might have the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and then to rise again on the third day. The proof of the truth of the promise of resurrection. Jesus is alive forevermore, and His love is eternal and unchanging. He loved us before He created the heavens and the earth, and He loves us today, and He will always love us. It's His very nature, for God is love. You know, the Christmas story can be found in the Gospel of John. We usually think of Mark, Matthew, or Luke first, but in the Gospel of John also we have the Christmas story. It's a little bit different than in the other Gospels. First John 1:1 tells us that Jesus is the Creator God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word, Jesus Christ, was with God. And He is God. And John 1:14 tells us about the birth of Jesus. It says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling amongst us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Right there's the Christmas story. The Creator God who made the heavens and the earth, who made men and women, choosing to come into this world, to become flesh, to be born as a human baby, a little boy, that He might be Emmanuel, God with us. And John 3:16 tells us why God did this, because of love. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God gave His Son. But the Son who was given is also God, come in the flesh, giving Himself for our salvation. few minutes ago, the children shared a lovely Christmas presentation with us. But I want to read also from the story of Matthew a little bit of the, from the Gospel of Matthew, a little bit of the Christmas story as well. But as I read that, I want us to think about this, to ponder the mystery that this child who comes to be born into the world is God Himself. Through the mystery of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we have God sending, God coming through the power of God. It's a mystery, but it's a wonder. And it's such a beautiful testimony of God's love for men and women everywhere. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. I'm going to read this kind of slowly this morning because I want us to have time to think about it as we read it, to ponder it. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Amen. The time had come on that Christmas morning 2,000 years ago for the prophecies of Scripture in the Old Testament about the coming of the Messiah to be fulfilled. And there were many prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. But in this passage we just read, Matthew quotes one, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." And we know that means God with us. Do you notice in that short passage we read, Matthew tells us twice, that Joseph and Mary had not been together physically before Jesus was born. And Matthew tells us twice that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, the power of God and the Holy Spirit. And he quotes also this prophecy about the virgin will be with child. So Matthew actually tells us in this one little passage five times that this is a virgin birth, that Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary. I think Matthew wanted us to notice that part since he told us five times. Now, this is a miracle for a woman to become pregnant by the power of God and give birth. But it's a much greater miracle that the child who is born is God come in the flesh. For God, who created men and women and made the heavens and the earth, a virgin birth is a simple thing. It is easy for God, who has the power of creation, to create a life in the womb of a woman. But for God himself to come through that pregnancy and be born as a man in the world is an extraordinary thing. And that is what Jesus Christ, God the Son and the Son of God, has done in coming into this world. His personal name is Jesus. He's called Emmanuel, but his personal name is Jesus. And Jesus means God saves, if you put it simply. That's the basic meaning. So Matthew told us in verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Give him the name God saves, because he will save. Now, what's interesting is Jesus actually was a common name. There were many little Jesuses running around 2,000 years ago. It wasn't an unusual name. But only in this one child born of the Virgin Mary is the true and full meaning of the name fulfilled. Because in Christ we have salvation from sin and the gift of eternal life through his work on the cross and his resurrection. Only in Jesus do we find the full meaning of this name fulfilled in history. God came into this world in the person of Jesus so that he could be with the people he created, so he could experience life even as we experience it and have fellowship with men and women, even as we can have fellowship with one another. And then he came also finally to give his life as a ransom for ours on the cross. But on the third day he rose again and is alive forever. And he is here. He is here with us now. Now, I'm going to ask a little question. You don't have to get up and answer, so I won't put you on the spot. Do you know Jesus? I mean, do you really know him? We need to challenge ourselves with this question from time to time. Do we know Jesus? We need to challenge ourselves because some people fall into the trap of knowing about Jesus without really knowing Jesus. You know, we know about famous people that we've never met. We know about people in history who died long ago. But we don't know them. And we need to make sure we don't fall in the trap of knowing about Jesus without ever having a relationship, coming together with him in loving relationship and inviting him into our lives. Knowing someone requires a relationship with them, an interaction between two, that you come together until you actually know one another in loving relationship. And the way to know Jesus is to invite him into your heart, to come into your heart and then to listen to his voice speaking to you and to follow him and obey and walk day by day with him in a loving relationship. The Bible is the greatest love story ever told. There is no love story as wonderful as the one we find in the pages of Scripture. A story full of passion and sacrifice, of romance and danger and faithfulness and betrayal. And it's the story of God pursuing his people that he created and drawing them into relationship with him. God created us for the very purpose of being in loving relationship with him. He created us to have fellowship with him. But we turned away from God in sin. We turned our back on the one who loved us. And yet, He continues to pursue us, to draw us back to Him. All through the pages of the Old Testament is the story of God pursuing His people and trying to draw them into a loving relationship with Him, until we get to the Gospels of the New Testament and God comes in the flesh seeking to have a relationship with His people, to be with them, because He loves them, each and every one, so much. 2,000 years ago, God came in the flesh seeking to have a relationship with mankind, with men and women, with us, all of us. And He's still doing the same thing today through His Holy Spirit, through the pages of Scripture, through many different ways. God is pursuing us with a passionate and eternal love, seeking a deeper and more loving relationship with each person. Some people may just be at the very beginning of that relationship. Maybe they just came to church today out of curiosity or with a friend. Others may have walked with the Lord for many years, but wherever we're at on that journey of faith, we want to take the next step into a deeper relationship and a more loving relationship with God who created us. You know, there are a lot of wonderful human love stories, and there are some people here today who are in love. And sometimes those love stories are wonderful and happy, and sometimes they end in struggle and disappointment, or even betrayal. But in a sense, all human love stories are really echoes of the original love story of God pursuing His people and seeking to have a loving relationship with Him. God created us men and women so that we could know something about what love is. He gives men and women who come together in marriage children so that they can learn something about what it means to love a child. And we all have parents, so we can learn what it means to love our parents. And people around us, friends and family, so we can learn to love. So we can discover the beauty and joy of love, which is perfected in the relationship that God has for each one of us, in His great love for each person He created. When people marry, they often use rings as a symbol of their love. And rings are a very good symbol of love. They're good symbols of love because, being a circle, the shape of a circle, a ring has no beginning or end. And that is the way it is with God's love. God loved us before He created the heavens and the earth, before the beginning of time, and long after the things of this world have been gone, God will continue to love us. His love is eternal. And God's love, eternal and timeless, without limit and without beginning and end, is always with us. When we put a wedding ring on and we wear it, it's always with us to remind us of that love, constant presence in our lives. God's love is like that, constant presence in our lives, waiting for us to turn and respond to Him and to love Him as He has loved us from the beginning. This Christmas, and always, let's hold on to the pure and simple truth. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And when we respond to His love, we'll be joined together with Him through a loving relationship through faith in Jesus Christ, and His love is forever. The things of this world, they change. Even relationships sometimes break down and don't go well. But the things of God are forever and stable and unchanging. And the love of God is a love you can rely on. It will never end. It will never lessen. It will never run out. Jesus loves you. This enough, for the Bible tells us so. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, loving Lord, thank you for the wonders of your grace and the mysteries of Christmas. Thank you for your presence with us now, and thank you that you chose to be with us in experiencing human life as well. Come now. Come now and touch each heart. Touch our hearts, Lord, and renew a passionate love for you. Help us to turn away from everything that displeases you, from every sin. Help us to turn away from faithlessness, from worshiping idols, from running after the things of this world. Help us to turn toward you, that we might love you as you have loved us. And help us to love one another. Lord, by your wondrous, unending, limitless love, draw us to you. As we come to you, we'll draw close to one another as well. I pray, Lord, for your blessing upon each and every one in this Christmas season, and upon family, friends, and loved ones. And out of the wealth of your love, I pray that you would meet those many individual needs for healing or for economic help or for restoral of relationships that have been broken, for new joy where there is sadness, for peace. Come, Lord, and bless each one. Pray that each and every one would know Jesus in personal relationship. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.